Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys who are addicts are the best because when they fall for you, they fall.
I know. I'm like, they have to be addicted to something. Might as well be me.
Oh my God. That kind of love is like next level.
Which is obviously not healthy. Not good. Obviously.
Not healthy. Not sustainable. But fun for 2 months.
Hi, everyone. Hi, besties. I'm Bella Benson. Welcome to another beautiful episode of Almost Adulting. I'm reporting live, not so live, from New York with my Gemini bestie, Hannah Berner.
I'm a Leo. Who are you calling a Gemini? You want to fight? You want to start a fight right now?
It's so funny. On my flight here, I was thinking, you know what? Even though she's a Gemini, I still really like her.
Hell no.
That makes so much more sense why I like you.
You're like, this whole flight, I couldn't understand how I still liked you as a Gemini.
I was like, you know what? It's one flaw.
Leo sun, Virgo moon, Scorpio rising.
I'm basically a Leo just born the wrong month. Anyway, she's a funny internet personality known for 5 seasons of Summer House, her 2-hit podcasts, Jiggly Squat and Burning in Hell. With over 20 million downloads, she was a co-host on Bravo's Chat Room. She also performed stand-up in New York City and at clubs around the country. And she just got booked this past month as a resident in Vegas.
I'm doing one show.
Okay, so I'm manifesting for you.
But maybe
by the time
an Adele moment.
To this, she's going to be a resident.
Maybe an Adele moment. Do the girlies in LA come to Vegas for shows?
Yeah.
Sometimes, okay.
It's an hour away.
Yeah, okay, because I don't really know the West Coast, so I'm like, who's in Vegas? I guess it's like bachelorette parties, cool girls from LA. DJs.
The girlies in LA come to fuck
the Reno girlies. They fuck the DJs at the.
Or they go to fuck Dan Bazarian.
Is he in
Vegas? Oh, yeah, okay. He's in Vegas.
You ever give him a blowjob?
Me? No, I haven't. You know, one time, Dan Bazarian would like randomly, because he follows Daddy, which is I follow him too. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He would always sometimes randomly chat with me in the DMs. And this was years ago. And I'm very, in a lot of ways, I'm very innocent. Like things go over my head all the time. Like whether I'm dating, I have no idea that I'm on a date at the moment with a guy, or I have no idea that I'm exclusive with guys. Like things always go over my head.
Yes.
And I remember I was invited to go to the Grammys for something, and they booked all of us flights on Southwest. And I told them that I'm going to the Grammys, and he goes, oh, you can actually, why don't you borrow my jet? We have to grab the jet to Vegas anyway, so you can just get on the jet to fly to Vegas for us to take it. And I said, oh, no, thank you. They booked a Southwest, I think. So I'm just going to go on that.
He was trying to be eco-friendly and have 2-for-1.
My dad taught me there's no such thing as a free meal.
Actually, that is so right. In this industry, what I've learned is nothing is free.
Yeah.
Nothing. At the beginning, you're like, oh my God, everything's free. And then suddenly you're indebted to hundreds of people.
But now that I'm older, I've also learned just because someone does something nice to you doesn't mean you owe them anything.
True.
So true. I feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunities that I could have really enjoyed. And then I would have been like, no, thank you. Sorry. You already gave me. But I just don't like to be in those uncomfortable situations.
No, some girls I think are so like spontaneous, chill. They're cool with those situations. I'm like, okay, are there snacks? Like, what time are we going to go to sleep? Because I really want to get 10 hours. Like, I'm not chill with that stuff.
Okay, but guess what you're not going to believe?
What?
So some of my friends have banged him. And I was like, okay, but he's so buff. Like, he has the small one, right? They're like, it's like a Coke can.
Ew, like, I don't want it that wide.
Yeah, they're like, it's so big. It's insane. I'm like, what?
I mean, it makes sense because it's like the amount of girls he has around him, he must be working with
it something. Makes sense because he's like a very calm person. And I feel like calm dudes have big dick energy.
That's why I always liked shy guys. I always thought shy guys had a huge dick.
Not that it even matters. Obviously, now it's a big focus that
honestly,
I feel like
the men care more, and that's why some of them are more confident because they'll be like, yeah, the big dick. When realistically, if I say huge dick, I'm like, oh my God, I have to do like a breathing pattern. I have to meditate.
Yeah, we talked about it in one of the episodes.
I have to visualize.
No, I'm good.
Like, it's a whole, it's talk about journeys.
First of all, if I decide to sleep with you, I'm so excited for the journey. I'm so excited to be there. I'm excited for both of us and what's to come that night. And hopefully it's both of us. Secondly, if you can make your woman orgasm, she's not even paying attention to what your size is.
So also, most of the time, it's not the dick that makes girls orgasm either. So
yeah, guys don't realize that.
No.
And most of the time, guys with big dicks don't know how to use it. You can just tell some of these guys when they talk, you just know. They've never made a girl come.
We were saying during first dates, we need to ask some questions before you're in the awkward position with him where you start making out and you're like, oh no, this is going to be bad. You got to ask early on. So do you like going down on women? Even if you're joking, see how he reacts. Get a vibe.
Yeah. And if he's like, that's not really my thing. You're like, you're not really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Like, even if it wasn't your thing, don't tell people that. Lie.
No, I wish. Yeah, I think you should. So then I can block you.
True.
I don't even, to be honest, half the time, it's not even that good. Sometimes they don't really know what they're doing. But yeah. It's just like, you know what? At least you did that.
Guys like, oh, I love going down on women. I'm like, you're literally just like poking your nose in her pussy and praying. You're doing the alphabet. You can't even do the alphabet because you've got hit in the head too many times because you're a lacrosse player. Sorry, I'm getting too specific.
Okay, so I first want to bring up the elephant in the room. What's going on with your arm?
So as an elite athlete doing the Winter Olympics, mm-hmm. I was on a green skiing and I fell and broke my hand. But I had a really bad attitude. Like, I was exhausted. I was touring all week. And my husband loves skiing, and I really wanted to love skiing. Like, I wanted to love it so bad. And I have that, like, past trauma of, like, people loving me more when I was good at sports, especially men in my life. Tennis, like, all the dudes were like, oh, she's so great, she's good at tennis. So I was like, this is a new sport. This guy loves the sport. I have to tackle this sport. But, like, I'm not an adrenaline girl. Like, I have enough adrenaline just waking up with my, like, anxiety disorder just existing in life. I don't like the roller coasters.
That's
I don't
so
even
crazy
jump off
because you're
plane.
An athlete.
You know how much adrenaline I get from stand-up and just playing sports?
I mean, stand-up itself is insane.
It's like a drug. I don't need more than that. Like, I don't want to jump off a plane. I don't care for the thrill. Yeah. And I feel like skiing, there's a thrill of like, I'm going so fast down an icy mountain, where for me, I'm like, that's just seems like a problem's about to happen. That seems like another thing I have to worry about. Also, once you get down to the hill, I'm like, did I win?
But also,
like, what happened?
After 5 minutes of doing the same thing, you're like, hello. You're
okay, that's my thing too. Like, people want to do it for like 4 hours, and I'm like, I don't want to do anything more than an hour.
And you just move your feet.
I can't think of one thing I like doing more than an
hour. Or you go like this. Like, you can run like that.
Well, yeah, you start doing the weight. Like, I started getting, like, I took tons of lessons, 3-hour lessons in the mornings. I've done multiple ski trips, and then my husband was like, after all these tours on the West Coast, let's go to Vancouver and ski. And I'm like, yes.
And you're like,
I get there.
My
I wake up
shine.
In the morning and I was like, I'm tired. I want to sleep in. I don't want to fucking go on the mountain right now. Like, I really manifested injuring myself, which is so fucked up to say. But like, I was in the mirror. I took a photo and I wrote send help like before I went, and I deleted it because I'm like, this is bad karma. But in my head, I'm like, I like made it happen. Manifestation's so fucking powerful. I was in such a bad mood about it. I had negative self-talk. I was like, I don't want to be here. This is stupid. Of course I injured myself. First run, I had a bad fall and I had bad luck because you fall all the time. I bad luck fell on my body, fell on my hand in a weird position. I just like, it's so gross. Crushed my hands.
And then what happened?
I had a panic attack because I like was like, oh my God, my hand's broken. Like, once you realize like, oh my God, my hand's broken, your world just starts closing in
on you.
What
does it feel like when your hand's broken?
Good question. I also get really grossed out by this stuff. Like, I can't even see someone sprain an ankle on TV. I like get nauseous. But honestly, you felt like a weird kind of...
Is it like this and you can't
move
your hand?
Yeah. Honestly, pain is so weird because the pain doesn't process quick. It's more like you know that you crushed your hand, and then afterwards you're like, oh, I can't move it. And then I was lying there, and then my husband's like, are you good? Get up. And then the pain was bad, and then I start panicking.
Imagine if he was like, are you good? Okay, meet me down there.
No. Well, he like, he also had turned around and yelled, like, watch out, because it was like a weird area. So I think he also kind of startled me, but I'm not going to blame him, because we're not playing the blame game. I'm very spastic on the slopes.
Haven't you learned your lesson from manifesting your fall? You're like, I'm just going to blame everything else, the world, for my issue.
The world's just like turning on me. So he was like, do we call ski patrol? And ski patrol seems super dramatic. Ski patrol is like when people fucking hurt themselves. Like people are falling all the time. But to call ski patrol, like you are having issues. But I'm having a panic attack. I obviously don't want to, I can't ski if I fall on my hand again. So we call ski patrol and we start dying laughing because I end up feeling a little better, but my hand's fucked up and I'm hungry. And I'm like, can you guys just get me down? So they put me in this toboggan thing. And my husband starts filming it. I joke, like, I'm one of those people where it's never boring. And I don't mean, like, I'm so fun. I mean, like, sometimes fun, sometimes it's drama. There's just shit always follows me. And I can't help it. And so we just start dying laughing. Like, of course, I'm in a fucking toboggan. And then I'm, like, my hand's freezing because they had to, like, wrap it so the fingers were out. So I'm, like, getting frostbit. It's burning because the frost. It's fucking horrible. And I'm, like, I can't wait to never ski again. Like, I actually started getting happy because I was, like, I don't have to ski this weekend.
That is so funny. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. If you ever see skiing in your future or you just decide to retire.
Dude, I love learning new things. I love athletic shit. And I was like, my husband loves it. And I'm like, this is me now. I'm an outdoor ski girl. And I'm not. Like, I don't like outdoor shit. I don't even like to camp. I don't know what I was thinking. I like my feet on the ground. I like to feel the ground and be sturdy. So I actually had to deal with some internal shit. Because if I had just spoken up for what I felt like, and if I just said, babe, I don't want to ski today.
Yes.
I wouldn't have gotten hurt. But I am the biggest people pleaser in this fucking world because my whole life, you're a good athlete if you don't hear your inner voice. You have to constantly be like, I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. You have to like gaslight yourself. And then you just ask your coaches, what do I do? So I go into that zone of like, Des, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it. When realistically, I also didn't want to disappoint him. He was so excited to ski with me. But then you have to
think. Right, you want your partner to be happy. You want to, and it's like when your partner is so into something, you wanted that to become your
Yes, and he kept telling me, he's like, why are you going on all these podcasts saying you hate skiing? I thought you loved it. And I go, this is the thing. I want to love it for you. But like, I'm talking on these podcasts because I'm like finding my inner voice. And I started doing all these stand-up bits shitting on skiing. I just posted one. So funny because then like the day after.
It is karma.
The ski gods got me. They fucking got me on the green.
They're sensitive.
I do have to work with my people pleasing. Recently, too, like in this career we're in as entrepreneurs, like sometimes you're busier than others. And when you start doing well, you get busy. When something bad happens or whatever, you're not busy. And I've had the ups and downs in my career where like no one's hitting me up. Suddenly everyone's hitting me up. So I never take it for granted.
Hey, best. Okay.
No, you've been a consistent bitch. That's why I love you. Recently, I've been like getting busier and I feel like I have to say yes to everyone. And it's like, how do I decipher which people to say no to? And then it's like, do you just say no to everyone and just say yes to the things that are super important? Because like, I'm only one person.
Yeah.
But I want to be a superhero and I want to make everyone happy.
No, I stopped doing that. At this point, I kind of just, because I forget who said this, if it was on an episode that I just recorded or where I heard this.
Yeah.
Where part of growing up is starting to listen to your body. That means that morning when you woke up, and you're like, I'm feeling tired and all this. You need to listen to it. Like your body is telling you, actually, maybe don't work out today. Like instead of forcing yourself, like, no, I got this. I can do this. Your body's telling you today's not the day.
Because your mind will lie to you, but your body won't.
Exactly. That's
like when you start having panic attacks when you're with the wrong guy or when you like can't eat. Yes. When you're with the wrong guy or if you just start crying for no reason.
Oh, like on your podcast. Yeah, so I just did Hannah's podcast as well. And we talk about my ski
it's
experience.
So, funny.
So we both have really funny fail ski experiences. And I'm going to post the TikTok that Hannah made. It's brilliant. I'm obsessed with it. It's so funny.
When bad things happen to us, which they do, find the funny in it.
Literally.
It really helped me when I was lying there so depressed with my right hand crumbled to have all my friends and random people enjoying this funny video.
But it's part of growing up is listening to your body. Your body told you that morning that you're not ready for it and you still did it. And that's what my mom always tells me when I overwork or overdo things. She always tells me, Violetta, you need to take a break. You can't be everything for everyone, nothing to yourself. And she also taught me that if you don't take a break sometimes when you need to. Your body will take it for you and it'll be at the most inconvenient time.
That is literally what happened to me.
Yeah.
Literally what happened to me. And I have to get better at, people are not going to hate you because you say no to them.
So the thing is, when people are mad at you or they're upset at you and so on, the thing is, you can only be quote unquote hurt by someone or upset by someone if you need something from them. That's the truth. Meaning either I needed love from you, I needed a favor from you, I needed money from you. I can only get pissed at you or hurt by you if I needed something from you. That's the only way you have power over me. Yeah. So when people are upset at you because you have certain boundaries, it's only because they benefit from crossing your boundaries.
You want to be happy in life, right? And making other people happy makes me happy. So then I was just like, okay, the way to be happy is just to make everyone who needs to be happy, happy. But then you get to a point as an entrepreneur where like, it's not possible to make everyone happy.
Yeah, I was in that point recently and my mom just always just gives the best advice. And she just told me like, Violetta, like life is really short. And I'm like, I know, but I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to hurt anyone. And she said, look, life is so short. You're going to hurt people regardless. And then the end of the day, you just have to learn how to put yourself first. Mm-hmm. Life is too short for you to always worry about everyone else.
And I have to be honest, there, I have to find what makes me happy besides just trying to make other people happy, because that seems not healthy. You can't just like always just be living for other people's happiness towards you. You have to internally be okay with yourself and not have, well, that's why we're in social media and I love attention.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, so with your right hand being broken,
it sucks.
Can you do?
I can't give hand jobs. That I ever did give a good hand job, but
right, it's the best hand job.
I'm a little nervy because as a tennis player, like I really hope this doesn't affect me long term. But you know, like little things like zippering your pants or like opening a bottle, like I just can't do it right now, and it's driving me off the wall because I am. Like when I was younger, like as a kid, I wanted to like walk at 9 months and like feed myself and do everything myself. So I feel like a baby. And then I'm also can't decenter men from my life because I have to ask my husband to open every bottle.
Aww.
I know. You're so like, I'm not baby, a feminist I'm icon so right weak. Now. I know. I literally just put on my bangle.
Does he
my
love toothpaste. It? Does he love that you actually need him right
no.
now?
He's like, ugh.
I'm so over it. Can so you just feel it. Already?
Yeah. I guess he does feel helpful, but it's like stupid shit. Like I'm like, could you to put my sock on?
Yeah.
And he's the old one. He's the one that's supposed to be, you know.
Yeah. He's like, him. I hope you heal soon because I'm going to need a back bracer. Yeah. I need you to take care of me.
It is interesting, though. Ooh. I know, like, we love talking about mental health. I did have a weird thing happen, though. When I hurt my hand, there was this feeling of, like, oh, now people can, like, feel bad for me for a reason. Like when you're struggling mentally, no one will ever acknowledge it. But like when you're struggling aww. Physically, everyone is like, are you okay? And for a moment, I felt like my exterior matched my interior in a way.
Well, where's that coming from?
I'm very strong. Like people would never tell if I'm hurting. So it was nice to like have an excuse for someone to actually be like, oh, I hope you feel better. Even though, like, emotionally, it's much harder for me in life than physically.
But are you struggling emotionally right now?
I just think, like, I've always struggled with anxiety and depression, and it goes up and down throughout the years, but, like, no one acknowledges it ever.
Right. It's hard when you see someone, especially comedians or people that seem overly bubbly. You're such a bubbly personality. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, I think we're all to blame for that. I think even myself, I forget myself that you can maybe be struggling because I see on social media that you always look bubbly and happy.
Social media is
you forget to be like, oh, those people are usually the ones who are hurting the most.
Yeah. And I do think, like, even when bad things have happened to me, my friends are like, well, you're tough. Like, you're going to be fine. Or like, well, she's not as strong as you. So, like, people have said that shit to me before. And I'm like, I'm fucking hurting. I just, like, am good at putting on, like, a strong face. Yeah. And I'm going to force myself to, like, work. It was an interesting feeling when I put this on to be like, see, I'm not perfect.
Oh, but you felt like you finally can get the valid. Yeah, you know? You're saying. That's actually, that's really endearing and slash a little sad.
I know, it's satisfying.
It breaks my heart that you needed to be injured physically to finally get this type of
a little
validation and empathy and love that you needed from
but
the
outside.
But it's
also, I put on like, I
didn't know
like,
how to ask.
Yes, I'm a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
Because that's what I put out there and that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
But like to get injured and have people not. Also, I feel guilty when I'm depressed. I feel guilty when I'm anxious. And there's always people who are like, oh, it sucks you're sad. You should talk to someone. Or like, oh yeah, it sucks that's happening to you. Where when you get hurt, everyone's like, wow, oh my God, that's horrible. I'm sorry. Where no one says that with mental health.
People don't understand how major emotional pain is because emotional pain leads to physical pain. That's the whole part of what my mom's saying. If you don't take breaks for your body will take it for you. Because for the longest time when and I think that's why you and I are able to relate so much, you know, two Gemini sisters. We're able to relate to each other so much. I think it's because we both play the strong role. I mean, even on your podcast, I said, like, but that's not me. Like, I'm supposed to be the strong one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm uncomfortable with feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt shame because it made me feel weak because I couldn't do the thing that I could do. You have to listen to our podcast to know what I'm talking about.
Teaser.
But the point is that with that emotional pain is that for the longest time when I wouldn't talk about my feelings, I only knew when I was depressed or needed help or needed to have like, oh my God, I'm hitting a really low point in my life. When I would get physically ill.
Yeah.
Because I would hold everything in for so long to the point that my immune system would go down.
Yep.
And I would start to get insane allergies from my cat or just from the environment. And then I would get sick. And that's when I would say, uh-oh. Something's wrong.
Your body had to tell you.
And that's too long.
Yes.
You figure it out before you get to that point.
I had a good friend who was like, had a bad addiction problems. And one day he said something crazy. It was so powerful. He goes, I wish sometimes I just had like cancer so people could understand how I feel. Because no one has any empathy for like addiction sometimes. Like the people around him at the time did not.
Aww.
Like they were just like, get it together. Why can't you get it together? This is like, get your shit together. But he's like, I have a disease.
Yeah.
And if I had a disease like cancer, people would feel so fucking bad for me. But because it's addiction, they don't see it that way. So I did have a weird like, I've been overworking myself for sure. And yeah. To get hurt and have people like for me to cancel something and to just be like, my hand's broken. And people be like, oh, sure. When like I would never have canceled it before because I'm like, what? Because you're tired? But, like, get it together, Hannah. You're strong enough. So I have to work on boundaries with stuff. I'm not good at it.
Me neither. I think we're all like that.
And especially as a workaholic, it's like what makes us good at our job, but it also can be what makes us bad at our job.
Yeah, but you can't be everything for everyone if you're nothing for yourself.
I mean, preach, period.
Yeah.
Slay.
Moving on without you being all a victim and all, it's like, move on already. Get over it. God.
Okay. It's okay. I'll be in like 3 weeks. I'll be fine.
Aw.
I'm fine.
I can't believe you purposely broke your hand just so people ask if you're okay. Like, you could have just told me.
Yeah, I could have just not skied, but here we are.
So, except you needing a lot of attention, what else is something that most people don't know about you?
I'm an introvert.
Really?
Like, when I'm out in these streets, I'm giving 150.
Me too.
I'm partying. And when I say, like, not that I'm actually partying, but, like, I'm giving everyone my all. I'm locking eyes. I'm in the deep conversations. I'm serving. I'm present. But then I need to be alone. Like, I need it. Like, I can't go from too many social interactions in a row. And that's where I've been starting to get more, like, understanding of myself, where I'm like,
yeah,
you need 3 days alone.
I used to feel so guilty, too, when I needed my own alone time. And I would constantly be apologizing for it as well.
Or I'd be like, am I depressed because I, like, need to be alone in bed right now? It's like, no, you're recharging.
Okay, but here's the thing. We now live, most of us live in first world countries. Not all of us, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the way our life is moving is that 50 years ago, we weren't as fortunate. So now people are finding things to be sad about. And we forget that happiness is an emotion, a passing emotion, just yes. like sadness, just like anger. So when you suddenly don't feel happy today, especially with social media that tells you, look how everyone's happy because it's a reel of happiness, you're like, oh, something's wrong. I must be depressed. No. You're feeling sad. And that's why I did a whole episode about depression. It gives you the differences between feeling sad,
yes.
feeling depressed, and yes. being depressed.
Yes.
Three different things. It's important to note the three different things.
I also am never bored when I'm alone. Like, a lot of people be like, oh, like, I don't want to be home alone. I'll be bored. Me alone with my cat, watching TV. Like, I'm never bored in my own space. Also, if I want to have a mental health spiral, I can. That's not boring.
Period.
You spend too much time alone. Next thing you know, you're playing tricks on yourself.
That's another thing. It's like you have to take care of yourself. So it's good to be alone, but not too much, because that's chronic loneliness.
Yes.
And that also gives you physical diseases.
Yes.
So you have to
It's a thin
that.
Line, folks. It's a thin line. But that's why I've realized, like, with my schedule, if someone asks me to do something, it might be like in 2 weeks and I look at my schedule at days open. I go, no. Would you want to do it tonight?
Really?
Because you have to think. If I wouldn't want to do it tonight, I wouldn't want to do it in 2 weeks.
That's really...
So I'm trying... Because there's too many things that I'm like, I did this to myself. I said yes to it. And now I'm miserable. So I'm working on that. But yeah, I'm pretty introverted. And I'm the kind of person that, like, I'll go hard. But, like, after my shows, people are like, let's go out. They give me cocaine. I'm like, I have McDonald's at the hotel that's waiting for me. And I love you all. But this is just... That's just who I am.
Yeah. Good.
Little grandma.
Yeah, don't do cocaine. You're like too old for it now.
Yeah, I did it once on my bachelor party for the first time. And as a joke, like just like one whatever. But I immediately just started bleeding from my nose. I was too pure.
Chic.
I know.
Did you take a picture? Wait, guys, I'm bleeding. Take a picture of me. It's like me my crying friends, on the plane. Wait, my Bella Hadid moment.
My friends were fucking dying. I don't even drink anymore, really. Like I can. I'm not sober. But I'm married now. And
yeah.
he's sober. So we kind of
Oh, well, that's different.
We just eat a lot.
Oh.
Eating is my love language.
That also makes sense. Why I could, you're so passionate about the soberness stuff, the conversation a second ago. Now I understand. Because yeah. you have someone in your life that's sober.
Oh, yeah.
So you understand it's a disease.
I've been, like, attracted to men with addiction problems, like, my whole life for some
Me too.
Reason. I don't know
it's
why.
It's weird. I think the reason I like you so much now, it's like, I'm like, the more you talk, you're the similar. More I'm thinking, is this a mirror of me? Like, is this why I like you?
Guys who are addicts are the best, because when they fall for you, they fall.
I know.
For
I'm like, oh, well, they have to be addicted to something. Might yeah. as well be me.
Oh my God. That kind of love is like next level.
Which is obviously not healthy.
Not healthy.
Not good. Obviously.
Not healthy. Not sustainable, but fun for 2 months.
Or for a lifetime for you. Yeah.
Well, what's cool about being with a sober guy, I've had friends text me and be like, I'm talking to someone sober. Like, what's going to happen? Am I okay? And I'm like, dude, first of all, no drunken fights in the mornings. It's never about, like, choosing the alcohol or you. Like, it's always just, it's not even a factor.
You can date someone also that just became sober the first year.
That's difficult.
It's not allowed for them.
It's, yeah, that's, like, not technically, they have to, like, he's been sober since he's 19. He's 47 now.
Right.
He's had this whole journey. And also, like, he's had a lot of good therapy from that, because to get sober, you have to understand your brain. It's not about the alcohol. It's, like, understanding your thoughts and self-control yeah. and discipline and empathy and triggers. Like, he's done so much work on himself. So when you see a sober man, it means, like, he's accomplished something. It's kind of cool. Even if they might actually like drinking, they know from their genetics, from their family, it doesn't work well. It's not good for the family. And they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Dez was sober at 19, because his mom always told him, like, alcohol is not good. So at 19, he knew, like, oh, I'm going down that road.
That's
so it was pretty
so
mature
good.
Of him early on
yeah.
to do that.
Speaking of... You've been now married, what, I think
Since
a year?
May. Almost a year.
Almost a year.
Wow.
Okay. So what's married life like?
It's peaceful.
That's nice.
even the day after I got married, I felt like a calmness to our relationship that was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like it basically is like, okay, there's definitely no games. There's no worrying. There's no wondering.
Still games and when you're married, for fuck's sake, I would just kill myself.
But imagine like the morning after, like even when you're engaged, it's still this drama.
The morning after, you're like, do you still like me?
I mean, there definitely are moments where my mom always said that relationships are like plants. You have to water them or they are going to die. It doesn't matter how long you've been with the person. Aww. Like, you have to feed it. And I just felt like a confidence that you've never had, because I've only had boyfriends. So when I looked over, I was like, holy fuck, that's my husband.
That's crazy.
It just was, it really felt nice, even though I don't think everyone needs marriage and I don't think it was essential to my happiness at all. Overall, it's been nice that I could just like focus on other shit, know that I have someone who has my back.
Yeah. But like, do you ever by any chance randomly sit there and like feel like you miss one night stands or getting dicked down by like a mid dude that's going to let you down? Do you ever feel like, do you ever miss the rush of being let down by some guy?
Never. I was never really into, I never liked the one night stands because I've had like so many. And
oh.
I'm not, no, like, I've had so many. I've just had bad experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, once you have enough bad experiences, you're like, this is not exciting for me. It's not fun. I have a flirt. I love flirting.
Me too.
And, like, you don't stop flirting. Like, you don't stop being in a room and trying to make someone laugh and be like, ha. But then you have to fucking deal with their weird dick or the fact that they'll never make you come and they'll cheat on you.
Yeah, I hate that. I love flirting too. I hate that means people assume something else. Like, I love flirting and I love like any opportunity that I have, especially with my friends, you know, any opportunity I have to get naked, I'll do it. Like when you came to my house, we met for the first time and I undressed in front of you and then you were trying to be respectful and you looked away and I said, hey, look at my tits.
And she took her shirt off and I was like, I'm not going to, I'll let you have some privacy. And she's like, look at my nips. Look at them. Look at them.
Because I'm not going to have nice boobs for the rest of my life. Like eventually they're going to sack to the floor and I'm going to have to be, you know, showering by lifting each titty up and like washing them
underneath. I do have to say, there is a nice thing. Like the fact that I'm married and have my ring, like I'm at the comedy clubs. It's all full of men. It's nice to sit there and everyone know, like no one's fucking me. So like, we're past that.
You've never heard of comedians cheat?
Comedians definitely cheat, but like the fact that I mean definitely, like I feel like female comics, it's like it's like a different thing. Like no one's trying to fuck a comedian. Like it's just girls trying to party with us and you make good girlfriends. You're like, that was fun. And if a dude hits you up, you're like, I'm calling the police. But like, so it's nice for me to sit and just have fun with guys. And like, I feel like if I was single, more people would, I'd be like, is he trying to like flirt with me? Does he have a chance with me? Is he drunk? And
yeah,
making it weird. So I feel like I go to work every night and I just have my ring on and everyone knows no one's fucking with me. And I get to just like kind of have fun and be myself and not worry about that like weird tension.
Do you miss anything about being single or nothing at all?
I miss not having to think about someone else's life when I'm making my own life decisions. Like, you have to compromise everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you got a job in Scotland.
Literally, I can't just be like my friends, Raina and Ashley, Girls Gotta Eat podcast, hilarious, amazing. They are both single, no kids. And they were like, we're going to LA. And then they're like, we're going to live here, I think. In my head, I'd be like, oh, I want to see if I'm going to be in LA for a couple months. You don't just do that. You have to be like, hey, husband,
do you want to move
based
together?
On your life and my life, do we think it would make sense? So I just can't be willy-nilly and off the fly. But I'm with someone who loves to travel. So like, we travel all the time. You have to run shit by your partner because you are a team now.
So then what's one thing that when you were single that you're thankful you'll never have to deal with again?
I don't miss meeting someone. And I'm like a creative director, I will immediately in my head like put them on such a pedestal because I love having a crush and make them like so perfect. Dude, I would do that so much to the point that like how many of my own feelings am I gonna hurt? Where like I just loved having crushes. So it's nice to now like not have to do that whole like project management.
It's so embarrassing. I love having crushes so much. I even said this on a podcast where one time I dated this guy and he was ghosting me. And for a whole week, I didn't even realize he was ghosting me because I was so busy thinking of our life together that I would text him cute things like, thinking about you, can't wait to see you, and then go back to work. And I wasn't even paying attention. Imagine trying to ghost someone that doesn't even realize you're ghosting them. Like, how embarrassing is that?
Because you're already like planning the wedding. You're like, hey, your cousins, do they like sitting near your aunts or your uncles? How are we going to put the seating chart together?
No, it's literally like, he's not even there. I'm like, I like you so much. And he's like, I'm not even here. It's like,
and you've also like met him once. I once like had this texting relationship with this guy and I was so into him. When I met him, I could not have been more unattracted to him. And I was like, you creative genius. You made this all up in your head. You genius bitch.
Always. Sometimes we're like,
life is better
like
with a crush. I love waking up and having a crush.
I get hotter when I have a crush. Literally, I start dressing nice. I'm ready to go out. I start meeting more guys. I'm suddenly talking to other guys. So yep. I have options. It's insane. It's like your life is so much better when you have a crush. I love it. And you're so right about the creative director. Because you're like, I'm not really into this guy. But I can make it work. Because
there's potential here.
And the minute, oh my gosh, falling in love with potential.
And like he's quiet. And instead of you being like he's boring, mysterious. You're like he's so mysterious. He's so smart. He's just so calm and beautiful. No, he's boring.
No, one
he's
time.
He's boring.
One time I was dating this guy years ago. And I was like, he is so mysterious. He's so this. He's so that. And then one day the rose-colored glasses came off. And I was like, oh, he's not mysterious. He's actually very stupid. Like, that's not.
But I'm shallow as shit. Like, I loved a hot guy back in the day. So I've dealt with, like, it would take me a year to be like, he's just tall. And he's actually a really mean person. But, like, it took me so long.
One time I dated a guy that tried to deport me.
And you're like, he's playing hard to get.
And I thought it was
he's
funny.
He's really good at politics.
He was like, yeah, if you ever piss me off, I can just call ICE. He has ICE in his phone. Didn't question why he had ICE in his phone. All I said was, you're so funny. No, I'm a citizen now, so it's fine. You can't do that. You're so funny. Anyway, and it went over my head.
It's really manifesting. Like, we're very strong manifestors, and I would manifest dudes for me. And then you'd be finally dating them, and you're like, I hate this man. I hate how he breathes. I hate his perspective on life. I hate all of it. So I do think that I would play a lot of games in my own head. And it would drive me insane. The way I got over it was I had one really bad relationship where it was so bad on my mental health that I actually was like, oh, I'd rather not have a crush. This one was more like a relationship. And he just made me feel horrible about myself. So I was like, I'd rather be alone and feel like myself than be in a relationship that I don't feel like myself. And that's aww. When I started to like see clearer. Yeah. Don't feel bad for me.
Okay.
It was good. It was good for me.
For
no, I'm over it. Okay. Now I'm strong. Now I'm
sorry. Let me know.
Now I'm Superwoman. She's back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What would you say the dumbest thing that you've ever done when you were single that now you can laugh at? Like me, I can laugh at the guy trying to deport me.
I feel like college was pretty embarrassing.
Okay. College. What's the dumbest thing you've done?
I ended this relationship with this like very hot football player. And then I was like, I cannot deal with these athletes anymore. So I started dating, dating's a strong word, the mascot of the University of Wisconsin, Bucky, who was like funny and cute. And I was like, wait, this guy's like really bold. And I also was like, I just went from dating like one of the stars of the football team. Like he's going to be obsessed with me.
Right.
We liked each other. And then I got really drunk one night and at a bar, I was like, let's like be together. And I was like, I literally said, we don't have to be Facebook official. I was so drunk. We don't have to be Facebook official. Let's just like be together all summer. And it's going to be amazing. And then he ignored me for 2 weeks. And then I couldn't rack my brain around it for like 2 months.
Yeah. And you know what's the funniest? When your friends are like, but you're so high. You can do so much better. You're like, yeah, that's why I'm crying.
Literally, that guy fucked me up more than like any of the other ones. Because I was like, wait, what's wrong? Like, we got along so well. I thought you were like so into me. I thought I could be open and vulnerable. And then he like, And then he's like, since then has reached out and been like, yo, I was stupid, I'm sorry. But I was like, whatever. I let it ruin my summer. Like, I was sitting around, there were like all these hot guys, and I'm like, why doesn't this dude who like I thought loved me doesn't love me? When meanwhile, we didn't even know each other very well.
I know, but that's why I think you can date insecure men, because insecure men will knock you down even lower.
And see, I didn't see it like that. I was like, I thought he was so funny and cool, and like, yeah, he wasn't like the hottest, and he wasn't.
Because they're like, if I can get that her, who else can I get?
I was very girlfriendy. Like, I was like, either we're best friends or we're nothing. Like, I wanted like a best friend. I wanted like.
What's wrong with that?
I know. I guess some of these guys in college, maybe that could have like really scared him. But I also was like,
are you still reminiscing why the mascot didn't want you? Like, move on. It's been years.
No, move on. Like, he's married with kids.
He doesn't love you. Move on.
But it's so funny because like we also would be so bad together. Like, that was also like, I literally made so many relationships up like in my head. And then once you actually get to know these people, you're like, Hannah, stop. But like, you were in love with someone who wasn't them.
And me every time.
Yeah.
They're not even there.
That's why the hardest heartbreaks are like situationships, because
the idea of what if, because he could have been great.
And the situationship, he never shows you him fully. When you're dating someone and you end it, you're always like, I know all of him. I know what it's like to be with him.
You
I know
have
the highs,
to fill in. You have to fill in all the blank moments. So you create all of them for you, versus being like, he's actually a loser or a terrible person who has a terrible personality.
A situationship is a drug. They only see you when they want. It's always like hot moments, because you're like, what are we, this is so exciting, the dopamine's all going. When you're dating someone, that is like someone who's committed to you, they're showing you know how they are.
Well, one thing that's really cool that I've learned is in situationships, because you're like, why am I always attracting these type of guys, blah blah, until you one day realize that they're not the ones in control, it's you.
Yeah,
because you can stop at any time.
Yeah,
you're choosing to chase people who are unavailable. And yeah, it could potentially be because you are unavailable. You're choosing to chase people that you know are going to run away, so you don't actually have to be vulnerable. You don't actually have to open up.
I used to get worried because I would, like, if something felt a little weird or he did one thing, I would be done. And people would be like, you're too picky or whatever. But I was like, no, I'm not wasting my fucking time. Because if it's that early on you're having any icks with him, it's like, move on. The situationships could be difficult because, like, if he's, like, not really telling you. But for anyone's listening, I knew I was going to marry my husband week two. And that sounds fucking crazy. No, he kind of knew. And then I, like, fell into it. But, like, you're going to know early. You're not going to worry about, like, how he feels about you. And I always knew that was how it's going to be. So when other guys were, like, taking, like, a year, not that they needed to take longer than...
A year is way too long.
A year. But like, if I'm with a guy for a year and I don't think I'm going to marry him, I'm like, okay, this is stupid.
I don't understand sometimes when people reach out to me and they're like, so I've been talking to this guy for 9 months and he just said something like, wow, I don't get why you don't have a boyfriend. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? It's like, girl, why have you been sucking this guy's dick for
And like,
nine
I'm
months?
Telling you, don't waste your time with this dude, because you have to close doors to open other doors. And there's other doors, like how you said, like when you find a guy who actually wants you, you're like, holy fuck, this is night and day, and you'd get what you fucking deserve.
But it's not just that. I've learned that it is actually very important to make a list or to have an idea of what you're looking for, because if you don't, and I've been guilty of this, where you will accidentally date anyone. And I think that's me when I go on and off of dating. I kind of just date anyone. And if I had a checklist in my brain or had an idea of what I was looking for, I would then right away know, like, oh, this guy is a womanizer, or this guy doesn't know where the clit is. Yeah. So I want a guy that knows.
Dating is important, though. Like, fucking up with dating, it's not fucking up. It's practice. It's like training wheels. Because I knew by the time I met Dez, I knew everything that I, like, did not want in a man. Because I've dealt with, I'm like, I can't deal with guys like this. I can't deal with guys like this. And it's not, like, that they have anything wrong with them. It's, like, me personally, I can't, it's not good chemistry for me.
Okay, so you and your partner, which, by the way, she didn't invite me to the wedding. No big deal.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I was totally busy that day. I don't even remember when it was.
I totally would have. I didn't even think you would want to come.
Was it May 13, 2021? Yeah. Oh, that's so crazy. How do I remember that?
That's insane. Wait.
Not even bitter. I don't even care. I literally don't even care.
I literally thought you were too cool to come to my wedding.
You're right.
I know.
Period. I know. Don't forget that.
Slay.
Anyway, you guys have a 15-year gap.
Yeah.
And people get really weird about age gaps, or I think maybe they get weird if, but you guys are dating in your late 20s and maybe people, obviously he's amazing, but what would you say some red flags that you should look out for when you're considering dating a catty zaddy?
I love it. Okay, so I do think in your early 20s, it's important to like date other people who are still like their brain's not fully formed yet either. So you're both like learning together, growing together, making mistakes together. Because the problem is if you're in your early 20s with an older man is there's going to be a power imbalance. There's a power imbalance with money. There's a power imbalance with knowledge. Like he basically will be like, this is how the world works. You're dumb. And like that's not a like good partnership. Like you would not want a friend like that.
Yeah.
And then if he is the only one making money, then it also is a weird, you put yourself in a weird situation where like you really want someone who's an equal with you. And you don't always have to be making the same amount of money or have the same amount of life experiences. But like, that's why I think the age gaps are kind of problematic in early 20s. Imagine us like talking to a boy who's 22 right now.
Yeah, it's
hard.
What
would I talk to him about?
My rule is 5-year gap because I like younger guys.
Yeah.
But even 5 years, guys are younger than me. It's
I just
a
think
struggle.
Under 25 is like, I can't fuck up.
I get so uncomfortable.
But with me, I do think we have a 15-year age gap. But like if I had met him when I was 20 and he was 35, it would have never worked out. He also was in a different place in his life. I do think if you're in your early 30s, guys in their 40s are fucking great. I think if they've been divorced, they've like learned something. And sometimes those guys are like knowledgeable and like experienced in a way that other guys haven't experienced. Also with older guys, I like them because they're tired.
That's true. That's the only time I started getting along with my dad. He was too tired to yell and like,
yeah, like they're
crazy.
They don't want to start fights. They don't want to go out and do crazy shit. Like they've done it all and now they just want to like be with you and relax. And that's the kind of lifestyle I want. My parents, I always looked up to. They have a really simple relationship. Like they're so in love. They flirt. They go to work. They come home. They eat dinner. They watch the Knicks game.
Their age gap?
2 years.
My parents are 5 years. Wow. Everything. I copy my family. I have no original thoughts.
Am I just like, are we in a meta universe? But yeah, they just love having a relationship is having a conversation with a person for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
And
you
like
have
they just
wanting to learn.
I will hear them and they're just like chatting. I'm like, what the fuck are these people still chatting about after 3 years?
So what's the most hilarious thing that ever happened to you during sex when you were single?
Some girls are like comfortable with guys going down on them. I feel like that's so fucking intimate. Like it's almost more intimate than sex. Like your face is in my vagina. Like my face is not even in my vagina. I don't even know what's going on down there. So the fact that he's there, it's like I haven't checked it. I haven't like gone through all the pages. I don't know what's going on. So this one guy was going down on me and I have trouble orgasming when guys are going down on me because I'm thinking all the things that could go wrong. I'm like, is it sweaty? Am I poking them in the eye with my pubic hair? Do I have like 7 chins when he looks up? Am I moaning the right way? Should I touch his head? Like, I don't
know. That confuses me about the touching the head. I never know. Am I supposed to pet him?
Am I tickling him?
Am I supposed to pet him? What should I do with my hands?
Yeah, literally. Like, what's the angle of my face? Like, there's so much. Of course I can't orgasm. So I was like trying. You know, sometimes, maybe it's just me, but when I'm trying to orgasm, I will like, you almost like push a little.
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy. So like sometimes when you're forcing it, you'll like push, like get like, I don't know, you're pushing. And I farted on his face when he was going down on me. And he did not take it in stride. Like it wasn't like, yeah, babe, like what? Like some guys are like chill with fart. Like, yeah, whatever. He was like, he rolls over. I start dying laughing. He definitely could have got a boner for like years after that. And I mean, it's hilarious, but like, I just think it must happen more than just me. Did you never fart in a guy's face?
No, not in his face. You told me this, I remember it was silence. And then all my response was, are you okay? Because I was
it could no, it could ruin a relationship. It could ruin your life.
Especially when you're younger. Because I had a Tuesday episode this month where I mentioned how I was on my period. When I'm on my period, my number twos are very...
Yes, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. And my boyfriend, my lovely boyfriend who I talk a lot on your podcast, my ex-boyfriend, he wanted to have sex. And I was like, I'm on my period. And he's just like, okay, let's have anal. And he shoved it in my ass without asking me. But, and then I guess got a little on his pee-pee, and he was like, ew, what the fuck? It's so gross. And then he dumped me. And I felt so bad about myself. For 2 weeks, I just felt so humiliated and embarrassed. Like, how could I do that with my body?
Also, like, anyone who knows anal, like, they...
Sorry.
Like, people spend whole weeks... People spend whole weeks preparing and douching and not eating to have, like, that, like, anal... Or if you care about that, then give... Let someone prepare.
Hello? What do you think happens?
Dude, he fucking deserved that. I'm so happy that happened. It was a blessing now that we look at it.
Well, we got back together eventually, you know? He forgave me.
But also, no, that is so traumatizing. I was very lucky that the guy that it happened to, we had a really good relationship, and he was like, I could do no wrong in his eyes. And it was like, honestly, it was a feminist power move.
Right. Except the fact that his dick got soft.
Yeah, but like, I didn't want to have sex anyway, probably.
Did you guys stop talking after that?
No, everything was fine. But I think also, I've been in relationships where I get farty, where like, I'm doing it like self-sabotage. Like, I'm trying to, like, I'm over it. Like, I don't, once I start farting in front of a guy, it's like, I don't like him.
Oh, okay.
Like, I obviously.
Maybe your body was telling you something. Maybe your body wasn't trying to orgasm. Your body will
tell you, you don't want this man. Get him off your pussy. I do think that I've like farted in front of guys to kind of dare them to break up with me. Like, I'll be like, do it.
I just feel like there's so many other ways to break up with someone.
I feel like my way's way more fun.
Yeah.
If I'm gassy anyway, it has to go out somewhere. I'm not holding it in. But I know, like, oh, you don't care. Like, because you want to care around the guy. You want to like fart and be like, oh my God, sorry.
Yeah, well,
you
want to
fart and pretend
cares.
To surprise, like, oh, I didn't know.
I care. But yeah, not everyone cares. People were, I also didn't grow up with farting or going number two in front of our families.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. I do want to embrace, though, that, like...
Well, everyone's different. I don't want to sit and be fake and embrace something where, honestly, for me, I think certain things just should be left a mystery.
True. Just if you like, some girls will like be dying out here, like holding it in.
No.
Like figure it out how to do it in the way that's best for you.
Even my girlfriends, if they're like farting, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, go to the other room. There's like 7 rooms in this house. Why did you do it when I'm standing right here eating? Like, are you joking?
I agree. That's just class.
I don't care how close we are. Go to the other room.
I agree.
So anyway, guys, where can people find you?
HannahBurner.com. I'm coming to Vegas, New York City, Boston, and Hannah Burner on TikTok and Instagram. And listen to Burning in Hell with Violet Benson and Giggly Squad's my other pod.
And I'm definitely going to have her on more. I don't even need to go on hers. It's just because we had to cut the podcast short, what felt short for me, because I have to catch a flight. I'm busy, you know, catching flights, not feeling.
Yes. Love you guys so much.
Unless you have daddy issues. If your dad's dead, then I will catch feelings for you. I'm kidding. Kind of. Okay. Love you guys. Bye, besties.